sing it together?
We lift it higher,
higher and higher, Lord. We lift you up.
We lift it up. We lift it.
Right here, the Lord saying to you, my precious child, I'm coming to you as a father. I'm coming to you as a healer, the Lord would say. I want you to know that I was there the whole time. Throughout all that darkness and throughout all that pain, I was there protecting your heart. I was there watching over to make sure that the circumstances around you would not shatter you into a million pieces. Because in that time, if I had not been there, you could not be here, says the Lord. Because it was too much for you. It would have been too much for you. But I watched over you and I protected you. And I held you. And I walked you out of the valley of weeping. And I walked you into a place of green pastures and still waters. And I am watering you this day, says the Lord. I'm nurturing you. I'm watching over you. Because I love you and I value you. And I protect what is mine. And you are mine, says the Lord. The Father says to you, I am healing you. The Father says to you, I am strengthening you. The Father says to you, I am with you and I will never, ever leave you or forsake you. So trust in me as you walk forward. Let there be a certainty, the Lord would say. Be certain of my love and know that I will never abandon you, especially in a time when you would be under attack. I will shield you and protect you, for I am your Father. I will provide and I will counsel and I will give you an inheritance, says the Lord. I will provide for all of your needs. So be confident this day that the Lord your God is a Father, strong and mighty, who will never leave you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Come on, let's say thank you, Father. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're with me. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, as we are in your presence and just, I know, Lord, there are sick bodies in this room and watching online. I know there are people with broken hearts in this room and online. And I'm asking, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would mend every broken heart and heal every body. Lord, we receive by faith the love that you are giving to us, which comes with healing and it comes with provision. Lord, touch every body, every spirit, every soul, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap and our worship team a hand clap? And let's just rejoice and celebrate. Good job, guys. Thank you. Wonderful. Good morning. You may be seated. I'm so glad we could be together this morning. And it's good to be back on home soil again. Kathy and I this last week were traveling quite a bit. And I want to bring you a special greeting from the Phoenix-Gilbert area where we were with our leadership team, our launch team for Gateway Phoenix, which is due to launch February 10th. Of 2019. They are strong. They are mighty. Some of them are watching right now online and they're gathering together. They're building each other up. They're reaching out in the community and working very hard. I've never seen Pastor Albert and Jenny so focused, so attentive to the work of the Lord, and so determined to be used by God. So very soon, campus number 5 will be live and online, and I suppose it'll be campus number 6 if you count the people that watch us from all over the world. On our, what could be called our online campus, we had 260 people watching last Sunday. That's a lot of people. Those are people that Jesus died for and people that Jesus loves. So through Facebook and through our Gateway system, I'm so grateful to welcome everybody together. Then after Phoenix, a couple of days in Phoenix with the Castanetas, we went on to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we were with Ralph and Cindy Vogel, who are connected to us and doing a great job there. I heard that Pastor Jordan did a marvelous job feeding you and ministering to you. I'm not surprised. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, I must say. I'm a proud father, and you should be proud too. You got a great, let me tell you, if your kids are in youth, or if your kids are in children's ministry at Gateway, or if your kids, if you are in a life group, if you are somewhere in young adults or whatever, you are well led and well fed. And I just want to say thank you to the whole team that makes, that puts in the teamwork to make the dream work. Amen. One of the big things that's been happening in my life in the last month is writing a book, which is going to be coming out at our conference. First of all, let me just say, this beautiful lady right here in the front row, Kathy Canastracy, has a beautiful book coming out, and it's called Unexpected Seasons. Thank you. A lot of things going on in my mind. It's a beautiful book, and that's going to be available at our conference, which is coming in just a few weeks. You can get it online at Amazon right now. But also, I've been working on a book called Let's Talk About Teams, and it's all about teamwork in the kingdom of God and how God wants to use teams and this whole thing of together to build the kingdom of God. In my first book, I wrote about apostles and the emerging apostolic movement. In my second book, I wrote about God's vision and unique calling on each church. This book is just as important a book as the other two, I think, as the other two put together. They sold all over the world, but this one I believe will be a special book. So that's also coming out. I've been really busy working on that. And our staff is working really hard to get ready for the conference, which is coming in just a few weeks from now. And the theme of the conference is team, and it's going to be an exciting time. So I want to challenge you to make your plans today for October 19th, which is a Friday, October 20th, which is a Saturday. We start Friday morning about just before 10 o'clock with registration. We go all the way through to Friday night. There's going to be a great service with Frank DiMaggio, Pastor Eric Butler. It's going to be a blowout. Combined worship from our five campuses coming together. Video, sound, lighting. It's going to be a spectacle. Friday night, it's going to be powerful. Then we're going to have a big party in the warehouse with food. It's going to be amazing. You're going to meet your friends and family members from all five of our cities. And then Saturday morning, we'll be done by 12. We start, I think, around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then we're done at noon. So you've got time to connect, hang out. The campus will be open for the whole day. There will be food served in the cafe. It's going to be, I think, the highlight of our year. So please don't miss it. Get registered. I think the price goes up pretty soon. Right now, it's $10. You've got that sitting between the cushions in your couch at home right now. So go dig it out and find that $10. Get signed up. You can sign up at our website on your mobile device right now. Take you about 30 seconds to do it. Or if you need help, we can get you signed up in the lobby afterwards. So great things are going on. The kingdom is forcefully advancing, and it's going to be a joy. Then also tonight at 6 o'clock, you heard about the team rally. I'm going to share with you tonight in it's kind of a party celebration, rally time for the fall. The end of the evening, it's only going to be an hour and 20-minute meeting, but we're going to pray for people, anoint you with fresh oil, and we just want to bless and love on Team Gateway, which is everybody running cameras and greeting and leading small groups. Anybody and everybody that's working for Jesus in Gateway is on Team Gateway, and if you want to be a part of that team, come tonight. We'll let you know about five areas where you could get involved very easily. And I'm going to give you six reasons why you should get involved, and they all benefit you. And so it's going to be a great time tonight. Last but not least, I got a couple of friends here today, Pastor Kuhn and Pastor Jake. Would you stand up, please? Many of you know Kuhn Tron, and Jake McDonald is a new friend of ours. They are working together in the city of San Diego, and they've come up to just hang out with us and see what we're doing. So I want you to welcome Pastor Kuhn and Pastor Jake. Would you give them a big welcome? All right. All right. How many are ready for the Word of God? Amen. Take your new and improved expanded teaching outline. You can fill that in. And then, of course, this is what you're using in your small groups and your personal study throughout the week as we go week by week through our series called Together, Doing Life as a Team. Today, I want to describe an ugly, ugly problem. It's going to get ugly. And then I want to describe a beautiful, beautiful solution that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is isolation. And the answer is doing life together. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, would you read this with me? And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I want to unmask a horrible, destructive, soul-corroding problem. It's a disease in our culture. It touches all of our families to one degree or another. And I want to talk about the problem of isolation. This past summer, you probably, if you were paying attention on social media or the news, you may have heard the stories of two prominent pastors. These are men who loved God, who took their own lives, tragically committed suicide, both of them this last summer. These were men who loved God. They loved their families. They loved their wives. They loved their children. They loved their team very much. The first was a personal friend, Pastor Donnie Moore, who me and my family have known for over 25 years. He's ministered in our church. He was the chaplain of the Oakland A's for 30 years. He ran a ministry called Radical Reality in the Central Valley, Stockton area. And his Radical Reality youth camps were attended by hundreds of young people who would run to the altars, weeping and crying, giving their lives to Christ. And Donnie preached all over the world and was well known. And last June, at the age of 62, he committed suicide in his own home. I'm telling you this story because I want to highlight how ugly this problem is and zero in on something that is happening in our world that is no joke. And I want to read to you from the family's statement. Pastor Donnie's family put out this statement on social media. And please listen for the problem of isolation. His family wrote, Donnie entered the valley of clinical depression in the last couple of months. The devastating effects of this condition trouble the thinking and can do so in greater measure when medications are being introduced and stabilized. This is what Donnie experienced. In those clouds of darkness and pain, impacted by the negative side effects of the medication, Donnie sadly took his lives. His family writes, clinical depression isolates its victims. Everyone say isolates. Clinical depression isolates its victims and can be difficult to address because of the stigma which often surrounds it. It can be a silent battle that many face alone. While compassion and love, however, we can support others who face this challenge without judgment. This is the words of the grieving family. Clinical depression isolates its victims. Then, just a few weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, 30-year-old Andrew Stockline, senior pastor at Inland Hills Church in Chino, California, also took his own life. I watched the video. He had been on a sabbatical. He was struggling with anxiety and depression. He took some time away from his church. He had to take a break and work through that. I watched the video of his return the first Sunday back. I think he was gone for 3 months. And I looked at the way he was loving on his church, how sincere he was. And just a few days after that video was recorded, he killed himself. And I loved this guy, though I never met him, because I could see he was real. He was the real deal. And that he truly loved his church. Did you see that story in the news? Did any of you see it? And was very sad. Now, CBN, down there in Virginia Beach, they interviewed a clinical psychologist. Because the question in everybody's mind is, what is going on? What is happening? And this clinical psychologist said some profound words when asked about this pastor's battle. And they also underscore the problem that we're describing here today. And I want to read to you from his comments. Clinical psychologist Fernando Garzon says, pastors have a real challenge in that They give so much to so many people, and many times the standard of behavior and conduct for pastors is so much higher that they feel isolated, Gajan said. Who does a pastor go to when they want to talk about different situations? Who does a pastor share his heart with? He continued. It really is, watch this, it really is the loneliness, the isolation that can happen in the ministry. It is something important for all churches to be aware of. Now, I share that story not because they both were pastors. Of course, that hits home for me, being a pastor, but I'm not trying to highlight a problem that only pastors have. I'm highlighting a problem that every human being has. And if it can happen to somebody as strong and as in love with the Lord as these two men, it could happen to anybody listening to this message today. And that's really the message. And the message is that isolation is a devastating mental health issue. I want to mention that we as a church should keep these families in our prayers, the Stockline family and the Moore family. Could we do that and pray for them? And also, I want to say, since I've kind of opened this topic up, that if anybody listening today is struggling with depression or thoughts of suicide, we are here for you as a local church. Reach out to us, or if you don't want to reach out to us, reach out to someone that you trust and love. And if you have no one, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Here's the point. If the enemy can isolate you, he can defeat you. And I don't want you to be defeated. I want you to win. I want you to succeed. That's what our whole church is about, that you would be strong and that you would flourish and that you would succeed in your life as you experience the life that Jesus came to give you. There's a stunning story that illustrates this problem of isolation. It's in the Old Testament. Maybe you didn't see it because it's kind of a story within a larger story, but I want to just draw your attention to this tiny subplot within the 17th or 18th chapter of the book of Judges, and I'm just going to read you a few verses. We have it up on the screen, and it's there on your screen if you're watching online, and it describes the problem. Look, see if you can look into this and notice the problem that I'm raising today. So the five men departed and went to Laish. That's up in the north of the Israeli environs, Laish. They saw the people who were there and how they dwelt safely, seemingly safely, in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. Of course, these were the days of the judges when people did that which was right in their own eyes. Our leaders bring us protection if they're good leaders, but here there were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. And they were far from the Sidonians, that peaceful, quiet, secure culture. This group in Laish was far from the Sidonians. And watch this, they had what? No ties with anyone. Another translation said they had no alliances. So they went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned their city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon. And read it with me, they had no ties with anyone. What is the message here? The message is that we need alliances, even if we think we are so secure. We're dwelling in the quiet manner of the Sidonians, the progressive, prosperous, peaceful, and secure people that lived on the coast. Only one problem: that really wasn't our experience. We got so self-secure, we became smug with how well things were going. And the enemy smelled an opportunity because he saw there were no ties, no alliances. Having no ties or no alliances leaves us vulnerable. And of course, the people of Laish were defeated and their lunch was eaten and their paper bag was popped. Because they had no friendships. Stunning story. Today, amid all of our apparent success, all of our apparent strength, we too are becoming isolated. The book of Proverbs tells us that when we isolate from each other, we're foolish. Now, we can blame the devil for this, but really, it's up to us to build alliances, isn't it? Yeah. The book of Proverbs says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. You know, life is easier when you isolate yourself. It's fun to be selfish. Just one problem. It makes you vulnerable. The Bible says he rages against all judgment. In other words, a life of sound judgment, you would never allow yourself to become so vulnerable. I don't want to bore you with statistics and stories today, but just indulge me for 90 seconds. In 1985, the average American had 3 close friends. In 2004, that average dropped from 3 to 2, while those with no close friends rose from 10% in 1985 to 25% by 2004. What did I just say? Number of close friends going down, number of lonely people who have no close friends, almost tripling. Another more recent study says that the average American has only 1 close friend. In his book, Bowling Alone, a man named Robert Putman, who actually was a Stanford guy, and he wrote about Silicon Valley, our home, the place we live. He said, in America, across America, and especially here over the last 25 years, attendance in social meetings like clubs, fraternities, churches, and so forth, attendance is down by 58% in the last 25 years. Family dinners are down 33%. And having friends over to your, hey, come over to our house, down 45%. And I read to you, I think a month or two ago, this excerpt from Bruce Perry's book, The Boy Who Was Raised by Dogs, which is a very interesting read. Let me read this to you, see if you can follow this. I'm talking about isolation, all right? Are you still there? You're getting quiet, all right. I know I'm not giving you a lot of amen lines right now. I told you it was going to be ugly. But the medicine is coming. Don't worry. All right. The beauty is coming. Bruce Perry, MD. For countless generations, humans lived in small groups made of 40 to 150 people, most of whom were closely related to each other and lived communally. As late as the year 1500, the average family group in Europe consisted of only 20 people whose lives were intimately connected on a daily basis. 350 years later, by 1850, that number was down to 10. From 150 to 10, living in close proximity. And by 1960, the number was just 5. In the year 2000, the average size of a household worldwide is 4. And today, a shocking 26% of Americans live alone. That's 1 in 4 Americans that you meet lives by themselves. What is going on? We are headed the wrong way. The family is breaking. The culture is breaking. Connections are breaking. And the human heart, this thing that was designed to be nurtured, this thing that was created by God to connect, this heart that God gave to us that depends for its sustenance, for its flourishing, this heart is perishing, starving. Because everybody's busy, but nobody's connecting. Everybody's rushing, but no one is relating. And that's the problem. For all our technology and for all of our transportation systems and for all of our apps and for all of our groups and for everything that is going on in our modern world, we are being less and less connected and increasingly more and more isolated. That is a problem. If you agree that that's a problem, if you think that's an issue for you and your children and your grandchildren, and it's a concern, if you think that's real, would you say amen for me? So I know you're there, all right? Well, that's the problem, isolation. If isolation is the problem, then together is the solution. Everyone say together. You and I were made for relationships, not for isolation. In fact, if you want to torture someone, just put them in solitary confinement. Slowly, they'll lose their minds. If you connect people to each other, as God created us to live, God who gave us these incredible relational aptitudes and needs from the very beginning in the garden when he said, you should not be alone. You should not be alone. If you put them together, they begin to flourish. That's why God said from the beginning, I don't want you to be alone. I enjoy history. I like to read history from all over the world, every country. It's fascinating to me. I'm not a sci-fi person. I can't even follow half of them. I don't know what's going on. But when I read history, I track with it. It's just not my language. Sci-fi is not my language. But I love to go back and look, especially at the history of the United States. And because you can study, who was it that said, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it? Well, one of the things I noticed in studying history of the United States is we began largely on the East Coast, the population centers there at the founding of our country, and prior to that were largely on the East, and then slowly people moved west, the Great Migration, and at that time there was a pioneer spirit in America. In fact, the definition of an American is kind of this strong, rugged, independent, tough, scratching it out of the ground, clawing sustenance out of the land and digging they were tough, tough pioneer kind of people. They were independent. One interesting article that I read described how as people moved across the country, and of course the United States was hoping that the land would be settled and pushing, encouraging people to, you know, homestead. There were homestead laws, and the government would give away land as long as people would settle it. And they gave sometimes large tracts of land, and then wealthy people were able to buy millions of acres, hundreds of thousands of acres. Places as big as some small states you could purchase. And what would happen as they were moving west, they would buy these rugged American pioneers, they'd buy a plot of land, massive land, and where would they locate their home? They said, we are strong, tough Americans. We will find the very middle of our property. We will create the maximum distance between us and our neighbors. So they plop down their land or their homes right in the middle of their plot of property. It's interesting because photographers go out and they document those things, and we have photographs like this one and other ones that are even crazier that show those pioneering families. And it's remarkable how many of them, when you look into the children's eyes and you look into the eyes of grandma and dad and mom, you kind of see crazy eyes. You see a little bit of a weird thing kind of going on, like, just because being isolated and being alone does weird things to your eyes and your personality. When you're alone, you get weird. And it's interesting what happened. They found over that process that people started realizing isolation is not good. We don't have anybody to trade with. We don't have any alliances. We don't have any way to mutually protect each other. We don't have any way to put out fires. We don't have any way to share resources. We don't have any way to do business. And so what they did was ingenious. They started moving to the corners of their property. So if you can picture an intersection of four properties coming together, four corners, people would each move into their corner closer to the other people in the property, and they developed a system called community. Ever heard of it? It's vital for the human spirit to be in community. So they moved to the corners. They started trading. They started developing alliance. They started taking care of each other. And they prospered and they flourished because they had each other, and the weird look on their face disappeared as they moved to the corners. What am I saying? I'm saying that you and I need to move to the corners. We need to stop creating so much distance between us and actually draw closer together, because what is happening in our culture is not healthy and it's not good. The greatest punishment you can give somebody is to isolate them, as I mentioned. And I know I'm talking to people here that are single. I understand that may or may not be your choice. People that live alone, that may or may not be your choice. People that are busy, I understand that. I understand busy. But there is a way to move to the corner from where you are and just get a little closer to people that are important and people that you need. Jeremiah 44:7 talks about the problem of isolation. This is the message of God. Why are you ruining your lives by amputating yourselves? Man, woman, child, and baby. Amputating yourselves from the life of Judah, leaving yourselves isolated, unconnected. It's time to move to the corners and begin to connect and relate. Our most powerful weapon against the enemy is together. Together in days of difficulty. I wish I could say that life is going to get easier over the next few years, but we're heading the wrong direction in terms of ease, I think, as a culture. I think we're headed into difficult days, if we're not already there. For many, they are so difficult. Here in America, we have a lot of cushion. Around the world, not so many laws or rights or opportunities. People need each other in days of difficulty. They need to be together in days of deception. Talking to so many pastors and leaders around the world, I mean, it's not just a weird look in your eyes, it's weird beliefs, weird doctrines that people are getting into, unbalanced thinking, crazy thinking. When you get by yourself, recently talking with pastors who are withdrawing from a particular fellowship of churches, I said, why are you withdrawing? They started to tell me, well, it's weird, it's imbalanced, we're getting into the wrong message, we're getting away from the Word of God, and so they're pulling back. And I said, well, who? The leaders of this movement, who are their pastors? Who are they connected with? And they said, surprisingly, no one. When you get by yourself, you're open to deception. You start thinking wrong. No one checks your thinking. You don't get the benefit of healthy thinking. And so we need to be together in days of deception. And then we need to be together in days of depletion. If you've got a digital device in your pocket right now, an iPhone or an Android, you know that it's good, you know, 87% charged, 43% charged, 21% charged. But pretty soon that light's going to start blinking and it's going to go out. That'll be the time before that happens for you to get it connected to a charger so it can get replenished. When I think about Sunday at Gateway, when I think about life groups, praying with another believer, asking for prayer, I think about that cord coming into me to recharge me. That connection. When I sing, when I look around at this beautiful church, red and yellow, black and white, young and old, and I see people weeping and lifting their hands and worshiping Jesus, I think this is a recharge. This is a recharge right here. This is why I'm here. It's what I'm doing, why I'm doing. Because it's charging people. It's keeping them alive. The life of God wants to flow into your empty battery, but you got to get connected. Why are you so fussy? Why are you so picky about who you connect with and who's in the room and what they look like and how old they are and if they're wearing skinny jeans or... Or if they're just as cool as you, you know. Very few people are just as cool as you are, right? So you got to be careful who you connect with. What happens is you end up with those kinds of wrong thoughts. You end up completely alone in life, wondering why your phone doesn't ring. Wondering who could possibly get together. You're all by yourself, and then the enemy smells his opportunity and comes. Don't wait until the enemy hunts you down and finds you unallied. Build your friendships now. Invest in some people that, you know what, even that are different than you. Because can I offer you this suggestion? You need people that are different than you. It makes you better. Makes you stronger. Well, the problem is there. Depletion and all of that. And we find ourselves orphaned. But we shouldn't be orphaned. We shouldn't be alone. Because Jesus loves us. Let's talk about the answer. Let's talk about the solution. Jesus loves us so much that he came to die for us and rescue us from our isolation. Look at what the gospel says. Romans 8. You did not, and we sang that beautiful song this morning. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? But you received the spirit of? Circle that word adoption, because that's a big word for you. How does a person who's by themselves suddenly get a family? You get a family when you're adopted. You receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Ephesians 1, Paul said, God decided long ago to adopt us into his what? Into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. How many are glad for what Jesus did? When he died on the cross, it wasn't just to save you by yourself. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to forgive you of your sins. Jesus died on the cross to connect you to a family. My question is, are you receiving this benefit? Well, I don't want to be connected to weird people. But see, forgiveness means that people that are equally weird can hang out together and not get irritated. Okay? You're just as weird as I am. And if I know that you love me and you know that I love you and that God loves the both of us, that makes us family. And family is something special. If you're wrestling with loneliness or any kind of an issue, I want you to know that you're surrounded by people that would love to connect with you. But you might have to move to the corner. You might have to reposition the way you're doing life and get just a little bit closer so you can connect. You say, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. It hurts. I understand. And that's a terrible feeling. There's only one good thing about loneliness. It's your wake-up call. Loneliness is the red light on your dashboard telling you to move to the corner. Reposition yourself. Loneliness is the pain that convinces us to do something about our isolation. I'm dreaming of a community right here in our church, in our cities, and wherever God will help us to influence. I'm dreaming of a community so filled with love, so devoted to this issue, that we've all moved to the corner to say, we're going to do this together. We're going to do this together. I'm dreaming of a place where it would feel impossible to be an orphan. I'm dreaming of a place where there's such good connections that a person who might be tempted to commit suicide, who might really feel that that's a good option, would throw that off and say, there is no way I'm doing that, because I know that I'm loved and I know that with people helping me, I can get through anything. I believe that God has created the church to be a family. And that one reason I'm really glad you're here today, really glad you're in a small group, making friends and connecting, is because it's going to protect you. and it's going to bless you. Psalm 68:6 says, God sets the lonely, the isolated, the solitary into families. He brings those out who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious, oh, the rebellious. Nope, I'm going to keep my distance. No, thank you. I don't need any friends. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. Psalm 92 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of God shall flourish. Are you surviving in Silicon Valley? How you doing? You're surviving? That's not my vision. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive. Right here, right where I am, in the middle of the traffic and the crazy rents and the hustle and the bustle and all that, my roots are going down and I'm going to flourish. My vision is not just to survive. My vision is to flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit. Here's my verse. What are you laughing at? They shall still bear fruit. And don't make fun of old people. One day you will be one. They will be fresh and flourishing. Come on, lift your hands, everybody. Come on. Lord, just let us flourish. Just let us flourish. I pray, Father, that you would connect us deeply. I pray, Lord, for this church that I love and all of our campuses and everyone watching. I pray that we would have the richest, strongest alliances and connections of our lifetime right here in God's house. Let us flourish. I pray for people in this room who are struggling with loneliness. Lord, I pray for a movement through all of our lives and in our families as well, of people moving closer to the corner where they can see their neighbor, connect. I pray for those that are experiencing crippling anxiety or depression. Maybe some that would be thinking about suicide as an option or hurting themselves. I break that ugly lie in the name of Jesus. And using the authority of the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, I come against every lie of loneliness and isolation, every lie of hopelessness and fear. Break it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Dissolve every chain. Deliver us and bring us out of the dry land into prosperity, Lord. Connect us together and give us great, strong alliances. I pray this in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, please. I want to talk to anyone who may be here that you don't have that assurance that Jesus died for your sin, that you're his child, and that you're a part of the family of God because you believe in him. Jesus came, he loved you, he died for you, but he'll never crash your party. However, if you invite him, he'll come in and he'll clean your life up and he'll connect you and he'll heal your heart and forgive you of your sins and connect you to the family of God. If that's you and you want to make a decision today to invite Christ into your life, you just somehow you want to get started with Jesus, I would never embarrass you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but I would ask you, I'd like to pray for you, and I'd ask you just to let me know who you are by just simply lifting your hand right where you are. Just lift it up right now. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to open my life to Jesus. Will you lift your hand? I see your hand. I see your hand. Just open your heart to him. We're going to say, Jesus, I open my heart. I see your hand, sweetheart, over on my right. I see another hand. Beautiful. About 4 or 5 hands being raised. Every Christian praying. Is there one more hand? Just say, that's me, man. I don't want to be alone anymore. I need Jesus. I need him. All right, you can put your hands down. Father, I pray a special prayer for those lifting their hands, Lord. I'm asking you to fill them with the life of Christ. Father, let these ones know that they are your sons and daughters. Break the power of sin and fill them with the Holy Spirit, giving them new life, victorious life, abundant life, a flourishing life. Do it today for them, Lord. Let them know as they leave this place that they are a brand new creature, a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Everybody look up at me. We're going to say a prayer. Those that raised your hands and everyone else watching online, let's do this together. The prayer's on the screen. I think you mean this, but let's take it to God and make this our heart's cry for the week. All right, here's our prayer. Let's read it together. Father God, I praise you for sending Jesus so that I would never be alone. I can't do life by myself. I need your love and I need partners. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. Thank you for dying for my sin and rising from the dead to set me free. I choose to trust in you and follow you from this day on. In your name, amen. Five people surrender their lives to Jesus today. I think we ought to say hallelujah. If you're watching online and you want to make a decision for Jesus, there's a button there that says, I've decided to follow Jesus. Just click that button. Let us know. And if you would, if you made a decision for Christ, there's a card that you heard about earlier in the service, a form online that says, I've decided. Fill that out and let us know what your decision is. I believe today is the beginning of a great new life that is yours in Jesus Christ. We're going to worship the Lord with our giving. The service will end in about 3-4 minutes. I want you just to enjoy this beautiful song. Enjoy giving and honoring the Lord. And I'll be back in just a moment to speak a final blessing.
Rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God.
Oh, you split the sea.
You split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. A couple of opportunities for you to connect right now if you need prayer. I want to just invite a couple of our elders. We look a little sparse up here on the, and I know some people are going to need prayer today. If you need prayer, we've got elders, intercessors, and folks right up here at the front to pray with you. And also, get connected to that conference. That's going to be a major, major lifter of your life. Amen. I want to pray for you and bless you. And how many of you are a child of God? You say, I am a child of God. Well, you know, the good thing about that is that means you've got an inheritance. That means you've got family. That means you're never going to be alone. So, Father, I bless your people with a great inheritance and a great richness and joy and satisfaction. I pray that you would connect us as friends and family. I pray, Lord, that we would move to the corners, closer to each other, and experience the life that Jesus came to give us together. I pray against loneliness and fear and isolation, and I speak a blessing of satisfaction and flourishing upon every person's life in Jesus' name. And the people said amen. Amen. I love each and every one of you guys. Great to be with you. Thank you for coming. If I haven't met you, I'd love to shake your hand. If you need prayer, come join us here at the front. God bless.